Hello and welcome back to Istros Conversations, where I'm here in the Istros HQ with translator Kristina Pribicevic-Zoric, who has a long career of translating from Serbian, Croatian and Bosnian, as well as French. But she's here today to talk about our latest title, our collaboration together, working on Dragan Velikic's book, The Investigator. So, Tina, welcome.
Thank you.
My first question to you is a little personal story of how you came across the book or the author, or I'm probably they're both the same question, but can you tell us a little bit about that, your history?
I was in Belgrade visiting and saw an old friend, and she told me about this book and said it made her cry. And I said, why? And she said, oh, it reminds me of so many things. So I thought, well, let's see if it reminds me. And I read it and I loved it. I'm American originally, and I've been living in Europe for longer than I haven't. But I found the book touching various parts of Europe that I had lived in or visited, the former Yugoslavia, of course. And I loved it, and I actually did know the writer, and so I told him that I loved it, and I started writing it on spec, so to speak, meaning I thought, well, let's see if somebody else likes it, and I gave it to Susie Curtis of Istros, and she had a similar reaction, I hope. Anyway, the book has been published by Istros, so we're all very happy.
Yes, indeed. So, in fact, you started the translation just out of love. I'm happy to say we did get funding for it in the end, so you did get paid for it. But that's always the best, for me, a great testament. If the translator loves the book that much, well, then I've got to look at it and I've got to take it seriously, which I did. And, of course, Dragan Velikic is a very well-known author back in Serbia and within the region. And he's won, I believe, twice the NIN Award, which is the biggest award in Serbia for literature. And so tell us a bit about Dragan as an author. And also he's been an ambassador, has he not?
Yes, he was the ambassador to Germany, I think. He is a very well-known writer. He has a wonderful writing style. It's crisp and it is funny. Sometimes in a tart way, but all the funnier for it. In what is almost always, as all his books are, quite serious. But they've got these moments where if you're sitting on the underground and you're reading it, you're probably the only person reading a book rather than on your phone, but still, it might make you chuckle aloud. So, as I say, he not only has he written several award-winning books, he's been translated into other languages. The Investigator has been translated into French, gotten very, very good reviews. So I really do hope that it resonates as much in English as it obviously did in French. And I don't know if it's been published in German. I would think it has.
Yes, he has quite a reputation in Germany, doesn't
he? Yes,
yeah, indeed. And can you, if you were asked to like sum up the book or write a blurb for the book, I know there is a blurb anyway, how would you kind of describe it in a few words just to whet people's appetite?
Well, let me start with the title. You might think that the investigator is a cop. He is not. He is the narrator who investigates his own background, meaning his parents, the places he lived. There are portraits of the parents that are superb, specifically the mother. So the things he touches upon, which I really did respond to, as did my friend who wept when she read it, are things like, yes, they take part in various parts of Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, but it's also about borders, not only within the former Yugoslavia, but let's say if you go to Istria, which is shares a border, that part of Croatia shares a border with Italy. Before the end of World War II, there was a very, very strong Italian influence there. And the dialect, let's say, in a city like Rijeka, is called Fiuman, and it is a kind of Venetian version of Italian. So it's all mixed up, and there's a wonderful scene which maybe says it best, and that is he, the narrator, is looking at a building where he lived as a boy. And before the war, during the war, World War II, it used to be an officers' club for English officers. And he looks at the window, and then basically what he's doing is saying, oh, if the walls could only talk. And they do. That's the most extraordinary thing. The way he writes it, really, you sense, my goodness, English officers in this building, then an Italian woman, then this narrator who comes from Belgrade, by the way. And why does he come from Belgrade? Because his father was in the Yugoslav Navy, and he was transferred from the Danube in Belgrade to the Adriatic on the shoreline of Croatia, forgive me. So it's, as I say, it's a lot about borders without saying so. And having lived in various countries, I think it would resonate with anyone who has moved around and lived the life of others, actually.
Yes, that's what makes it so wonderful, because the streets come alive, the corners, the little shops, the people who lived there, who lived in that flat up there, what went on there. I walk around towns and think things like this all the time. And he's put it all into the novel, hasn't it? It's very charming, very charming. Is there anything that was about the translation that was challenging for you? You mentioned dialects and...
There's always... one of the reasons I love translation is that it teaches you a lot about your own language, that in my case being English. And just when you think you can't possibly find an equivalent resonance for a thought or a word, you get surprised because you can stretch your language way beyond what you think you can. So that's the fun part. The difficult part is very often context. You have to give the foreign reader enough information so they understand what is immediately obvious to a native speaker reading the original. So for instance, I did something I do not believe in with novels, but I decided to try it, and it is footnotes. There are political concepts that are one-word identifiers in the original, and there's not a person who knows the original language who wouldn't understand the implications of that one word. That doesn't work in English, and to add a descriptive term to these words would just not work.
No, it would feel clunky, forced, yes. Wouldn't it? Yeah.
So I decided that I would go with the footnotes, and I'm still in two minds. As I say, I don't think novels really should be read with footnotes. But what I did decide, I first of all identified that the footnotes are mine, and second of all, I did not put them, as one might, at the end of the novel. I put them on the very page where the said word appears, so that it's easy to find, to read, and not too distracting, I hope.
No, not at all. And in fact, it just adds colour and, as you say, context, because those terms are specific to that region and that time, indeed, so that people wouldn't even know them. They're not in current use. We're doing a lot of events next week to promote the book. Unfortunately, the author is not going to be with us, but we're absolutely thrilled that you are, Christina, and thank you very much for being part of this conversation.
It's been a pleasure, truly.